chapter 11 tonight. And we'll look at just one verse tonight here in Hebrews 11, verse 4. The Bible says, "By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh." Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the privilege to open up your word. And as we look at the example of Abel, Lord, one of your choice servants, who we know he starts off at the beginning of our Bibles, and we don't hear too much from him, but Lord, we're thankful for his testimony. And Lord, as your word tells us that he being dead, his blood yet speaketh, Lord, that you testify of his gifts. And so we want to testify even this evening. We want to learn from his example of faith. And I pray that as your vessel tonight, you'd fill me with your spirit, anoint my lips and my tongue, and help me to just preach your truth to your people tonight. And may we all be edified, and may we give you the praise and the glory. We pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Tonight we're looking at the faith of Abel. The faith of Abel. At the beginning of man's history, we see Abel's faith right there in Genesis. We also see that at the beginning of man's history, man isn't rummaging around in caves as Neanderthals for thousands of years waiting to evolve. That's not the real history of man. No, when we look at the life and the story of Cain and Abel and Adam and Eve, we see agriculture, we see farming, we see their domesticating animals, right? Abel brought a lamb as a sacrifice. And so we got to remember what our history is according to what God tells us, not according to the human philosophies we have today. But we see that in this person, Abel, we see the very first offering of worship from man to God. Abel's offering to God. We also remember his brother Cain, and that's the first rejected worship from man to God. God rejected Cain's worship. And so it teaches us an important lesson that the goal of worship, the objective of worship, is that God be pleased. That's the goal of all worship. Is the first and foremost question we have to ask ourselves, is Christ honored? Is God pleased? Before our own enjoyment, before our own stirring, which we should be stirred as we worship the Lord, before any of that ought to come the question, is God pleased? W.H. Griffith Thomas said this, "Worship is giving, not receiving. Worship is ascribing, not appropriating." So when we worship, we ascribe to God all the honor and glory that he is due. And that's what Abel did with his offering, with his sacrifice. And so that tells us a couple things. In our worship, worship is not a tool for evangelism. I say that because some people treat worship as such. And you'll hear people say things like, well, if we add this to our worship, we'll draw more people in. And then we'll get them saved. And those are noble pursuits and goals in their own right. But we've got to be very careful, because the first question we have to ask is God pleased. Before we ask, will people like this and come in from the streets because of this? We got to ask, will God like this? Will God be pleased by this? Before we're careful not to offend people, we're careful not to offend our God. That's the focus of worship. And so worship is for God's enjoyment. And we know worship has to be in faith. Has to be in faith. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, we've looked at this verse often, but without faith, it is impossible to please him, to please God. So we know faith has to be a key ingredient of our worship. But before we continue here, let's go to the book of Genesis, chapter 4 in our Bibles. It'll be good for us to go back to this story and its origin here in Genesis chapter 4 to see exactly what's going on in Abel's life and why he's listed here in the Hall of Faith. You know, it's interesting. God skipped over Adam and Eve and went right to Abel. And I think there's a lot of lessons we can learn in Abel's life. Let's look at Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. The Bible says, "And Adam knew Eve his wife, and she conceived, and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord." Now that's important. We could preach a whole message right there. Children, all children are come from God. Every child that's born into this world is a gift from God. And we as Christians, we as Bible believers, we believe life begins at conception. And so we believe every life is precious, should be treasured, and we should do our very best to see that life come to fruition. And that's why we reject abortion. We reject that belief, that notion that no, life inside the womb is not precious. But when it's outside the womb, now it's precious. No, life inside and out the womb is precious in God's sight. I think of the babes leaping, Jesus and John the Baptist leaping, right? I think of Jeremiah, who the Bible says he acknowledged, Lord, while I was in my mother's womb, you formed me, you called me. And so we believe life begins at conception. All life is a gift from God. But then look at verse number 2. And she again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. The Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Very interesting story what happens here. But we see Cain and Abel both bring an offering of worship to God. Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground. And we see that Cain's offering was rejected by God in verse 5. God did not accept Cain's offering. Now I want you to know tonight, that wasn't just an arbitrary decision. That wasn't because, well, God said, well, Cain, you're not good looking. Abel is good looking, so I'm going to accept his offering. Or, you know, Cain, you have a really prickly personality. Abel is much more easy to get along with. It wasn't just arbitrary like that. God didn't just pick and choose. There's a reason why God accepted Abel's offering over Cain's. We notice a few things. First, if we remember our context, Hebrews 11, by faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. So we know that Abel's offering, Abel's worship had faith, Cain's didn't. Cain's offering was also a bloodless sacrifice. That's a big difference between their offering as well. Cain's was a bloodless sacrifice. So when we think about Abel's offering, the Bible says he brought of the firstlings of the flock and the fat thereof. And we know that he also came in faith. I want to submit to you tonight, we talked about faith last week. Faith is grounded. Faith has its substance and its conviction. It's based on what God has said. Faith is based on what God has revealed, divine revelation. There's no such thing as just blind faith. It's just, well, I hope this works out. I'll hope for the best, kind of like we do with the weather. I hope it doesn't rain tomorrow. That's not real faith. Biblical faith is grounded, is rooted, is tethered to what God has said. And so I submit to you tonight that Abel's faith was in what God had revealed to him, what God had revealed to Adam and Eve and to Cain as well. And I believe that God had prescribed the where and the how of worship. You think about this. Look at verse number 3, Genesis 4, verse 3. It says, and in the process of time. So we know time had passed. I believe there was enough time for Adam and Eve, perhaps, to tell Cain and Abel what happened at the fall of man there in the Garden of Eden. I believe there was enough time for Adam and Eve to tell them how God had to cover them because of their shame and their sin. God had to slaughter animal skins and cover them. And then I also believe Cain and Abel brought their sacrifice to a specific place. How did they know where they were supposed to bring it? I think it was God had revealed to them the where and the how of worship. Abel, he had faith. He believed what the Lord said and he obeyed. Faith and obedience always go hand in hand. Always go together. And Cain obviously didn't have faith. He disobeyed. But when we think about faith in what God has said, Satan's goal is to cast doubt. The opposite of faith is doubt, unbelief. Satan's goal is to cast doubt on what God has said. Satan's goal is to make us doubt or fear and question God's revelation. And we know that happened in the Garden of Eden. Satan asked the woman, "Hath God said?" The first question we see in the Bible, Satan's casting doubt on what God said. And today we see people attacking the Word of God still. And we see the skeptics and the folks today that question, is this really the Word of God? Hath God said? Is Genesis real? Hey, did Jesus Christ really die for the sins of the world? And they question and poke holes in the Word of God. That's Satan's goal, to cast doubt on God's revelation. But I think it's clear that Cain's offering was not prompted by faith, was not resting in faith, was not following God's will. Cain's offering was the fruit of his own works. It was the best he could do. He brought the fruit of his own works to God, and God said, "I don't want that. It's not good enough for me." God desires the shedding of blood. In Hebrews 9, verse 22, we saw this before. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Cain's offering came with sin in his heart. In verse 5, it said that he was wroth. He was angry. I think he had a lot of anger and jealousy and rage in his heart. The Bible says in Proverbs 15, verse 8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. See, there are people today that they are living in wickedness, living in sin, but yet they still come and try to worship God. Do you know that? They're living in filth and sin and wickedness, and they still try to worship God and access God. God says it's an abomination to him. He rejects that way of worship, just like he rejected Cain's offering. Go with me also to 1 John, the book of 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 12. 1 John chapter 3 verse 12, the Bible says, "Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous." Notice the contrast. Abel was a righteous man. I believe his righteousness came by faith, just like Abraham's righteousness, just like everyone else in the Bible, and just like yours and mine. But Cain, the Bible says that he was evil. His works were evil. And so he came to worship God, but he was wicked. He had sin in his heart, and God rejected his worship. So when we look at Cain, we see the false religion of human effort. The Bible warns in the book of Jude about the way of Cain. That's the way of human effort, human religion, man trying to get to God on their own terms instead of on God's terms. And that never works. That never pans out. We must come to God on his terms. The false religion of human effort, notice it's works-based. This was the best that Cain and his own ability could offer to God. There was no faith. It was all his effort, his works. And notice it was a failed attempt. It was all his self-will, self-determination. I'm going to do this. And that's how some people try and live the Christian life. They say, "Hey, I'm going to do this. I'm determined. I can do this." And God rejects that. There's no faith. False religion of human effort leaves man frustrated and vexed. Think about this. The crowd that says you're saved by your good works, whether it's Christians or Muslims or really every religion of the world, says you're saved by works. That's really the religion of the world. It's human effort, right? And so there's really a lot of frustration there because there's no assurance of salvation. You know, I was talking with a Muslim man and I was just trying to be polite and ask him about his religion. And I was trying to get to the point, "Sir, you have no assurance that Allah will even accept you," right? And he had to admit that. He has no assurance. As hard as he works, as much as he strives, he cannot say 100% that he will be accepted into heaven. That's the way it goes when you try and go by works. You will never have that assurance. Because how do you know how many works are enough? And how do you know about your sin? How can you cancel out your sin? So it leaves man frustrated, vexed. That's the way of Cain. the way of false religion, the way of human effort. False religion, human effort ignores revelation, ignores what God has said. And there are people today that try and show them from the Bible. Jesus said, you must be born again. My church doesn't say that. I don't got to follow that. I don't care what your church says. The Bible says, you must be born again. Jesus said, you must be born again. But they ignore revelation. I'm talking about, you know, people that profess to be Christians, whether it's Catholics, Protestants, even some mixed up Baptists. And they think, hey, I'm in a church building, and I'm religious, I try and do what's right. But they ignore what God has said. And they ignore the way of faith, they ignore the way of Abel. Some people, they want more than the Bible. They say, I want to see a sign. I want to have some experience, and then I'll do what's right. Then I'll follow God, and they ignore revelation. That's a big problem today. Some people reject the gospel because they say it's too simple. They say, you know, you just got to turn from your sin and believe on Christ. No, I want to do something more than that. And so they reject revelation, which is a very sad and dangerous thing to do. But that's the way of false religion. That's the way of Cain. But number two, let's talk about the faith of Abel. The faith of Abel. The Bible says, by faith he offered a more excellent sacrifice. Abel had faith and obeyed God. His worship was an act of faith. And that's the key in everything that we do. It has to have faith. Here's what Matthew Henry said. There was a difference in the principle upon which they went. Abel offered with an eye to God's will as his rule and God's glory as his end, and in dependence upon the promise of a redeemer. You see, Abel's offering pictured Christ. And God accepted that offering. God was pleased with that offering. And one Bible teacher noted here it was one lamb for one man. Then at the Passover, it would be one lamb for a family. Then on the Day of Atonement, it would be one lamb for the nation. But with Christ, it's one lamb who takes away the sin of the whole world. That's John 1, verse 29. So the faith of Abel. Abel offered this more excellent sacrifice. But again, I want to emphasize, the key was faith. Do you know if Abel were to bring that offering, that lamb, and he did not have faith, God would have rejected him too. If Abel would have come with that offering without faith, God would have rejected him too. Faith has to be central in everything we do for the Lord. A lot of people think they know what they have to do. They know what the Bible says. They know they have to be witnesses for the Lord. They know they have to be givers. They know they have to be praying and reading their Bible. They know they have to be in church on a Wednesday night. They know they have to do all of these things, but yet it's done for different motives than what Abel had. Maybe it's done to be seen of men. Maybe it's done to fulfill our own pride, and we get some sense of pride because, hey, I did this today. Maybe it's some other selfish reason, but if it's not faith, it's not accepted by God. If it's not done in faith, it will be rejected just as quickly, just as fiercely as God rejected Cain. So carnal motives in our worship will not be accepted either. We can be guilty of doing the right thing the wrong way. The right thing can be done the wrong way. Our motives matter. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You know, talking about doing the right thing the wrong way, I always give the example to our teenagers, our young people. I tell them, hey, listen, sometimes your mom and dad said, hey, you need to clean your room. And then here's how they clean their room. They're just kind of like, just kind of throwing a fit and throwing stuff around. And, oh, my parents are so annoyed. Ah. And they come out in a few minutes, mom and dad, my room was clean. And yeah, you cleaned your room, but listen, buddy, you got a serious problem with God and with your parents. You got a rebellious spirit there. And so you can do the right thing the wrong way with the wrong motives, and God isn't pleased by that. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and look at verse number 12. It says, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, Every man's work shall be made manifest. This is talking about believers, by the way. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So notice this. The amount of work that we do is not really going to be evaluated. It's important, the amount of work that we do, but that's not the primary evaluation. The primary evaluation is, in verse 13, every man's work of what sort it is. So Paul is saying that the work that you do is going to be tested, tried by fire. And it will either come out as gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and stubble. We all know what's more valuable. And so if someone did a lot of the wrong sort of work, or you had the wrong motive, and you did many works, but they were the wrong motives, that's just going to be wood, hay, and stubble. It's going to burn up. God's not going to accept it, and you're not going to get a reward. So every man's work will be tried of what sort it is. So our motives matter. Our spirit matters. Our obedience matters. You see, worship is really all about obedience and yieldedness to God. And that's what Abel had. That's what was missing in Cain's life. See, Abel came in the right manner. See, the manner we approach God matters too. If we come with an unworthy manner, with carnality and rebelliousness, God doesn't accept our worship. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 tells us, as we receive Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him. That means everything that we do in the Christian life has to be sprinkled with faith. Everything that we do. And yes, that means even outside of church, when you go to work, when you go to school, in your home life, everything we do has to be mixed and mingled with faith. So we see the faith that Abel had, but then number 3, the legacy of Abel. The legacy of Abel. If you go back to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4, we see the legacy of Abel. The Bible says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. Abel left behind a legacy. And he's included here in this wonderful chapter of the heroes of the faith. He's really the first one that's specifically listed here in Hebrews chapter 11. A great honor, a great privilege. A legacy of faith. His is really a legacy of faith. Jesus declared Abel to be righteous. If you go to Matthew chapter 23 and verse 35, Matthew 23 verse 35, the Bible says that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Notice, even the Lord Jesus Christ commended Abel and called him righteous. That's a pretty high commendation. The Lord Jesus Christ himself called him righteous. So Abel left behind a wonderful legacy of faith. And it's a reminder to us that the things that we do in faith are eternal. The things that we do in faith last. The things that we do in faith matter. That's important, because sometimes we think what we do doesn't matter. Even the things that no one sees, the things that maybe are at home or at work, we think, well, this is not full-time ministry. It shows everything that we do in faith does matter, has lasting impact and lasting influence. And we can leave behind a legacy of faith, where people can say, that sister, she had faith, and she humbly served the Lord in everything that she did. Or that brother, he did everything in faith, trusting God. What a legacy he leaves behind. That's powerful. That legacy of faith that Abel had and that we can have. God himself testifies of the righteousness of Abel and of all the faithful. Abel's blood still speaks to us. It still cries out, the Bible says, reminding us of the value of eternity. Maybe you heard the story of a wealthy woman who died and went to heaven. And when she gets to heaven, she realizes that her gardener has a much bigger and nicer mansion than she does. And so she called up one of the angels and said, hey, listen, there's a problem. Maybe I'm in the wrong mansion here. And my gardener has a much bigger, nicer mansion. Mine just looks ordinary. And the angel said, lady, we only work with what you give us. And that gardener, hey, he worked in faith. Maybe that lady didn't so much. But it's a reminder to us that everything we do in faith has lasting impact in this life and the next. And so we got to live in light of that. Revelation 14, verse 13. Blessed are the dead, which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. That verse is inscribed on my father-in-law's tombstone. And it's a very precious scripture. Their works do follow them. We can leave behind a legacy of faith. Don't you want to do that? The Lord tarries, maybe the ones coming up, younger Christian, maybe your own children. You can leave behind a legacy, a pattern of faith and obedience, just like Abel did. Faith enables a man's vocal cords to go on long after his body is lying in the grave. Abel's blood still cries out and speaks to us because of his faith. When we look at Abel, we realize that faith is a sacrifice. Faith sacrifices. Before Abel came with that offering to God, guess what? He had already offered up himself to God. Long before he came to that altar, long before he brought that lamb, he had already offered up himself to God. And that's the key. He had already sacrificed. He had already dedicated, consecrated himself to God. And that's what it's all about. That's what worship is all about. The way of faith is the way of sacrifice. The way of worship is the way of sacrifice. Some people think that worship is a big band rocking out on stage and that's worship. But no, my friends, worship is yielding your life wholly and completely to God. That's true worship. And that can happen inside of a church building or outside of a church building. When we yield ourselves up to God for his service. And Abel did that. That's why his sacrifice was accepted before God. And notice Hebrews 11 verse 4, the Bible says God testified of his gifts. Gifts is plural. I think that might indicate that Abel, this wasn't the first time Abel did this. That he had done this before. He had brought this offering to the Lord over and over and over again. And he had offered up himself to the Lord over and over and over again. You know, the Bible says we're to be a living sacrifice. And someone joked that living sacrifices can kind of get up and run off the altar sometimes. So we got to get back on. But it's a daily thing where we crucify our flesh. We put to death our carnal desires and ambitions. And we say, Lord, I'm all for you. I'm yielded for you today. Use me today. I'm wholly yours. That's a daily thing. I think Abel did that on a regular basis. It was a constant yielding himself to God. Well, what a legacy for us tonight when we think about Abel and what God did through him. And the offering he brought was a great picture of Christ. But of course, the book of Hebrews lifts up Christ above anyone else. Christ's offering for sin was far better than Abel's. Christ's offering for sin was once for all. And that's the offering we need to trust in tonight. Christ once for all sacrifice. But again, we have that call to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, yielding ourselves totally to God for his service. May we do that on a regular basis in faith, and we can see God use us in a mighty way. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your word and the examples of faith. God, I pray we wouldn't just read about men like Abel and others, but we would desire to implement the same things in our lives, Lord, in our ministry, in our homes, in our workplaces, that we would live in faith. Lord, help us to live in sacrifice, in surrender. And Lord, help us to be a great testimony before you and leave a great legacy for those that will come after us. So, Father, just continue to work now in the remainder of our service, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.